people into their homes, into their church, and into their fellowship. Father, I thank you so much that your word has not fallen deaf on these ears in the service. Father, you have blessed these people, and you've blessed us through these people. Father, I ask you to continue this. Bless the food we're about to receive.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
How do I find eternal life?
According to God's word, the Bible. And I do appreciate God for coming here. We love all you folks. Yeah. And I want to hear what you have to say. Can I share something with you guys?
Come on, man.
How do I find eternal life? According to the Bible, and here's a very important thing, and you can make sure I say this to you, because as I go and I talk to people, when I say this to them later, they say, well, you didn't say that. And I say, I didn't. Be specific, because the word of God is very specific. And Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, we live by every word out of the mouth of God. So how is it that a man gains eternal life? And this is for any of the men. But you were teaching, so I guess I'll ask you a question.
Jesus said, he said, but who do you say I am? And Peter replied, Peter said, you are the living Christ. Messiah, Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus replied, my Father has revealed this to you, not me, but on me,
you
will be saved.
Okay. So is that it? Just believe on Jesus and you gain eternal life.
That's it for me.
Jesus plus nothing.
Is that, that's what everything the Bible says?
Everything.
About salvation and finding eternal life. So let me ask you a question.
If you believe in your heart,
so can I be a practicing adulterer? Believe in Jesus, keep my adultery, and go to heaven?
No.
So there's something missing. He believes. I have a homosexual friend who believes. Will he? He's a practicing homosexual. Will he go to heaven? According to Scripture.
You won't be doing that.
1 Corinthians 6, according to Scripture, will he go to heaven? No, sir. He knows quickly. No. So there's something missing in your gospel, just belief, because everybody I preach to says they believe in Jesus. But James says even the demons believe and tremble. So you stopped at faith. That's where I want to start. Can I share with you the biblical gospel? The biblical gospel. And by the way, I need to say this up front. My wife and I don't belong to any organization. We're not Mennonites. We're not Mormons. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We're Bible-believing Christians. This is a King James Bible. We don't associate with any organization. We don't take money from anyone. We work to support ourselves. We have no skin in this game. We don't want you to come and join our little commune. We don't have one. We have saints all over that we fellowship with. But what I find in America is, you know, people tell me, man, you're a bold preacher. When you go out, why don't you go to Africa or go somewhere else where it's really needed? Well, let me tell you, it's needed right here in America. Just yesterday, my wife and I were flying down the highway to deliver some carvings for our business, and I'll tell you a quick story. A strap was laying in the middle of the road. And whew, I went over it, and I slammed the brakes on, and I said, we gotta get that strap out of there. My first thought was, I'm gonna get that strap out of there to protect my neighbor, because I didn't want them to swerve. My second thought was, cool, I get a free strap. This one's a huge, they're like 50 bucks. I go running down the road to get the strap. I look, here's a guy walking down the street. We meet about an eighth of a mile ahead to go. He goes, that's my strap, I'm a trucker. I said, oh, awesome, here's your strap. So we're walking back, and I said, what's your name? He said, my name's Bud. And I said, Bud, do you know how to find eternal life? Do you know the gospel on how to find eternal life? And he looked at me and he goes, no, no one's ever told me that. 27 years old. I shared the gospel with that man. He got in his truck, he thanked me, he drove down the road. For the people that tell me, well, you need to go to Africa or New Guinea, right here in America. Now, he may have been raised in a religious building, but he didn't know the gospel. And here's what I want to propose in love. The gospel you just preached is not the biblical gospel. It's the start of a gospel, but it's not a complete gospel. Paul says in Galatians 1, any gospel that is not the gospel he preaches, a different gospel, is accursed. So if I give you directions to my house and there's 12 lefts and I give you 2 lefts, did I get you there? No, you gave me 1. So faith. Let me share the gospel with you quickly, then I'm going to let you folks eat your food. Faith is this. Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You started there. Fully man, fully God. Paid the price. Did three things. Showed us how to love God and love our neighbor. That's what I'm trying to do today. Showed us how he would shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And he also defeated death. So faith in Christ. The Bible says in Luke 13:3, what must you do or perish?
You must believe.
Repent. Yeah. Jesus himself said you must repent. You did not have repentance in your gospel. Does any of the men know what repentance is? And by the way, I'm not discounting you ladies. The Bible says when men are teaching, that's why you have a man pastor. It goes through the men. So I'm not discounting you. We love you all just the same. Repentance. Does any of the men know what repentance means biblically? It means it's metanoia in the Greek. It's very important to understand this because a lot of people don't have this.
Stop. Change direction.
Yeah. It's good. It's change your mind. I used to be a drunk and a fornicator and an idolater. I changed my mind and I said, I can't go my way anymore. I'm going to go God's way. So faith, repentance. Then Jesus said something very important. I know you guys all know this verse as soon as I say it. John 3:3. You know it?
No.
Do you?
I probably do, but...
Seriously, and you guys are all Baptists. You must be born again. You must be born again. Jesus says you can't enter the kingdom of heaven without being born again. He's not a liar. Faith, repentance, born again. Then we don't teach works. We teach obedience and holiness as fruit. Like, are you folks married? You're faithful to each other, right? No boy, no girlfriends, no boyfriends. That's the fruit of your love. It's not how you got there. It's just the fruit of it. Holiness and obedience. Hebrews 5:9 says, Christ made the way of eternal life. Everybody likes that part, but they don't finish it for those who obey him. Hebrews 12:14 says, no one will see God without holiness. Obedience and holiness are the fruit God's even in you. It's a fruit you're a godly husband or a committed husband. Okay, so faith. Repentance, born again, holiness and obedience. Does anyone know, the men, do you guys know what holiness means in the Greek? In the actual word in English, what it means? A lady said set apart, okay? How are we set apart and what are we set apart from? Again, using the marriage analogy, he left all his old girlfriends, she left any old boyfriends, set apart for each other. How are Christians set apart?
Because we believe.
I'm sorry?
Because we believe.
Nope, Christ not true. Nope, not true, because Peter says in 1 Peter 1:15, be holy, for I am holy. God is holy. Is God holy because he believes in himself?
We set ourselves apart through our fellowship and through our belief, through our common belief in Christ and our fellowship and our work together, our studies together. We have set ourselves apart from,
What holiness is you have the world and you have God. You have evil and you have good. You have Satan and you have God. Holiness is, we're in the world, right? Right now I'm standing in the world, you're in the world, we're all in the world. But the Bible says you're in the world, but not to be of the world. So you have to know what the world is. The world is the fallen system, the culture. It's not trees, it's not my car, unless I drive it to get drunk or drive it to see a strip club or something, then it's sinful. But so you have to know. So holiness means you begin to strip your life down in obedience. The Bible says, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you become a new creation. All things pass away. All things become new. So you leave your old life. Here's what I fear in American Christianity. I see it all the time. We're from it. Lifelong Lutheran. Me, Baptist, non-denominational, Bible, bounced around for years. The world and the church, their so-called church, is like this. They're connected right like this. That's not being holy. That's you having a girlfriend and still wanting a wife. You're a hypocrite if you did that. So the church today, I'm calling it the church because it's not the true body of Christ. You realize that. When you look at your body in that building, you know Jesus said few of you are going to make it? Look around your building and say few of you are going to make it. Matthew 7, or he's a liar. So look around and go, few of these people are going to make it. How am I different than the world and some of these people that I know are hypocrites? On Sunday, they're doing this. What are they doing, like you said, Monday through Saturday? They're into the things of the world. And here's my greatest fear. Well, let me finish the gospel, and then I'm going to say something, and I don't want to lose you before I finish the gospel. Faith, repentance, born again, holiness and obedience. You leave your old life. You strip yourself down. That starts in here, but then it comes to the outside. and you obey God's word, not man-made traditions and not the culture. And our website, I'm going to give you a gospel card if you want it. Our website teaches all about that. The last part is, and I know this is a big one with Baptists, most Baptists are Calvinists. Okay, you're not Calvinists. That's good. You must endure. You have to endure in your marriage. You didn't mention that. You know, I tell people when they go and witness, I witness to homeless people, they're in the gutter, and they say, believe in Jesus. And the guy says a prayer, and they say, congratulations to God's family. And the guy walks away, the preacher walks away. And I said, can I ask you a question? You just welcomed him to God's family and told him he has eternal life and he's going to heaven. And the guy says, yeah. I said, do you know he's going to be in heaven? Are you a prophet? And he goes, no. I said, why did you lie to him? You should have told him you now have the hope of eternal life to come. You have a hope of a marriage if you finish it. You have the hope of eternal life to come if you cling to Christ to the end. So faith, no one can snatch you. A lady said, no one can snatch you. I want to answer this because this is very important. No one can snatch you. You can leave his hand. So that is Calvinistic thought. If we believe Jesus won't lose anybody, Jesus says, if you don't forgive your brother, what happens to you? You won't be forgiven. Proof positive right there that you can jump out of his hands. Jesus says, deny me before the Father. Deny me before the Father, and what will Jesus do to you?
Deny you.
No guaranteed eternal life. The fruit is that he's confessing. The fruit is that they're clinging to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15, it's a famous gospel chapter. You guys all know it. Well, you say you know it, or I think you know it. Paul says you have the hope of eternal life because of death, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Then there's a big word in there that you have to deal with as a Baptist that leans toward Calvinism, and I think you guys do. The big word, you know what the word is? If. You have the hope of eternal life if you cling to what you believe. Then he says this powerful statement. Lest you believed in vain. I'll go back to the marriage. You cheat on her, your whole marriage is in vain, isn't it? You'll be a disgrace. If you claim Christ, you're walking, and all of a sudden you go, oh, big job, big money, got to go do something sinful. I think I'm going to go that way, Lord. You have now turned your back on your faith, and you're going back to your old ways, your sin, your rebellion against God. You walk away from your salvation. That is clear. You are Calvinist. I don't know if you're new with this body. That clearly is Calvinism. That clearly is Calvinism.
Be completely holy. If you have to turn away from your sin and become holy, do you believe that somebody can be completely holy? Because my Bible says.
Okay, wait. First, I want to ask, who's the leader here? Who's considered the leader here? Is this proper that the ladies are speaking? I'm asking biblical questions when we're trying to reason the Word of God. Are you okay with lady pastors, lady elders? You are. Lady pastors and lady elders. Okay, the Word of God is very strict against lady pastors, ladies elders. I understand, and I was invited, and I let him finish. I didn't interrupt any, and he told me I could speak. And anytime you want me to leave, I'll leave. But, ma'am, the reason I don't want to bring in the women is because the men know. It's why you have a man pastor. The teaching goes through. The Bible says when the body gathers.
Hold on.
1 Corinthians 14.
By the way, these girls,
I've heard enough.
1 Corinthians 14.
Jim.
You know what it says? Enough. The women are to be silent in the church. Do you know this is the body of Christ if we're all believers?
We've heard enough.
Do you know that?
Yeah. We've heard enough.
I'll tell you why. if a guest here is offended by what you're doing and what you're saying.
Is the gospel offensive?
It can be.
Yes, the Bible says that. Want me to show you the scripture? It is offensive. It is offensive.
What I want you to do now is stop.
Okay. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You let me go through the gospel. There's a biblical testing of your body, College Heights Baptist. It's on our website. We go through point by point from the modern pastor role that's unbiblical. And by the way, I heard you mention Mike. Never met him. You go on his Facebook page. He loves football. There's nothing good, godly, and pure about NFL football. But your pastor promotes it. Okay, so thank you. Your pastor promotes it. Pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter, worldliness, carnality. The truth is here, and if you can refute me, here's my challenge, any of you men, call me, email me. If you can refute what I've said in this testing, I will drive back to Casper to your pastor, and I will say, I apologize, I lied about you. I corrected what was wrong, okay? Because I'm going back to Casper. Okay? You, one of your own men said it, worldliness and carnality is the NFL. That is not so among God's people. The Baptist system, it's on his Facebook page, it's on the bio. It's on the bio.
Is there anything you don't understand about stop? Stop.
Really? Are you a believer?
No.
Yeah. There's another problem. You're mingling believers, praying and bringing in the so-called body of Christ when they're not even believers. How do you do that? How do you do that? You disciple and you preach the gospel. Really? The word of God is too much.
You and your bride need to go.
The word of God. I just want to make that clear. The word of God.
You said you would leave when asked.
I am. I am. I've proven my point. The Baptist system is unbiblical.
Leave.
The Baptist system is unbiblical.
Please leave.
We love you all and told you the truth.
We don't love nothing.
Repent or you'll all perish.
We don't love anything.
Repent or you'll all perish in man-made religion. You've shown your love right here. It's on audio, by the way. You've shown your love.